Today on Real Radio.
This is what God has said. I will provide a sacrifice. In that sacrifice of my approval, I will take his righteousness and give it to you. And at the same time, I will take your sin and I'll give it to him.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know. We're in a mini-series called You Need to Know all about the revelation of God. It's an exploration of Bible passages that speak of the attributes of our Creator. Now, certainly, there will always be those characteristics of God that will take, well, forever to comprehend. But there are some attributes that His written Word reveals. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now with more in his mini-series called You Need to Know All About the Revelation of God.
Listen, I wonder if we often miss that. The Bible tells us right here when Adam and Eve sinned that it says that he took the skins of animals and covered them. Somebody or something has to die that is innocent to cover the guilty. I can't prove this. This next part I'm making up. The Bible doesn't tell us what kind of animals God killed to cover Adam and Eve's lost condition, their nakedness. But I betcha there were two lambs. The way our God does business, I betcha there were two lambs that gave their lives that they would be clothed. That Adam and Eve would be clothed. God provided, listen church, God is the one who initiated and provided the redemptive step by providing the animals. What is he saying to us? The Bible says in John 1:29, behold the Lamb of God, Jesus, who takes away the sins of the world. Our God is such a redemptive God, so bent on redeeming you out of this cursed life and giving you a brand new life and to have all your sins forgiven you, that you can start all over again, that he's the one that tells us, I'm the redemptive God. Go find that in Islam. Find that in Judaism. Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, Buddhism. You name it. There is no religion on earth that has a God that steps in and says, I'll do it for you, because you can't do it yourself. He's the redemptive God. But just know this, in redemption, something innocent must pay the price. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 6, verse 5, I want to be building on the case of our redemptive God. God says, Exodus 6, verse 5, and I have also heard the groaning of the children of Israel, whom the Egyptians keep in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Therefore, say to the children of Israel, I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. That's an awesome picture. And with great judgments. Verse 7, I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you shall, here it is, know that I am the Lord your God, who brings you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. And that great picture for us today, the Bible over and over again teaches us that the world system in this life is like Egypt. The world enslaves you to its sin, into its bondage, and we need to be brought out by God's redemptive plan. But listen, the God of the Bible is a God of redemption, and we need to remember that. This is kind of cool. Mark this down. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 48. Leviticus chapter 25 is about being sold into slavery. And verse 48 really sums it up. It says, after a man is sold. Now pause right there for a moment. Keep the verse on the screen. After a man is sold, why would he be sold? Why would a man be sold? Well, he had debts that he couldn't pay. That's the context of the chapter. There were debts he couldn't pay. By the way, listen, I hate to unnerve you this morning, but you need to know the truth. If you owe the credit card company any money right now, or a mortgage company, if you owe them money, you know all that law, those incredibly tiny bits of fine print paper that you didn't read when you signed? Well, in that paper that you didn't read, it said in there that this company reserves the right to call your loan at its discretion. You see, what does that mean? Well, you think you signed up to pay that bill for the next 10 years? And you did. But they can call the loan. They can call you up and say, you know what? We need you to pay your loan in full in the next 30 days. If you can't do it, they take it. You didn't read that part, because then you wouldn't sleep at night if you would have read that part. This, listen, in Israel, if a man couldn't pay what was owed to him, it was taken. He was put into debtor's prison, as it were. But look what that verse goes on to say. After a man is sold, he may be redeemed again. Notice, it's going to have to be by somebody else, though. One of his brothers may redeem him. By the way, the qualifications of one of his brothers, it had to be somebody who was related in blood. Number two, it had to be somebody of wealth. Number three, get a load of this, it had to be somebody who had no debt. They couldn't be a risk. So somebody steps in and they're going to buy you from your indebtedness, your slavery, your prison, but they're wealthy, they got to be blood related, and they have no debt. This is lived out in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth doesn't even mention God. Did you know that? Not even once. It doesn't have to. The book of Ruth is all about Boaz, Naomi, and Ruth. And Boaz is a blood relative to Naomi, who winds up delivering Naomi from her debt and getting Ruth in the process. Why? He is called in Hebrew the name Goel, the kinsman redeemer. He's the one that's qualified. He has no debt. He's a bloodline relative, and he's wealthy. All through this, listen, in the temple of God, there are two pillars that hold nothing up. Jokshan is one name of the pillar, and the other pillar is Boaz. Why? Because it's one of the ministries of the Redeemer. Who's the Redeemer? Who was rich and yet came down for our sakes and took upon himself our poverty? Who was it who had no debt? He had no sin. And who was it that met the Redeemer's qualifications? Wealthy, having no debt. And was he not a bloodline relative to mankind? Jesus Christ. It was God, the redemptive God of the Bible, that came down, born of a woman, so that he would have blood going through his veins like you and I have, to qualify. You never think of God qualifying for anything, right? He's God. What does he have to qualify for? This, to redeem us. Because listen, high and low, mankind could have looked across the ages of cultures and civilizations and peoples and never have found a righteous man to die for our sins. We needed someone to pay our sin debt because all of us have sinned. We needed somebody to pay the debt. Sin took us captive. We were held in that prison of whatever our flesh and sin wanted to do. Listen, if you steal a car, are you a thief before you steal the car or after you steal the car? Very good. You're a thief before you steal the car. Stealing the car only proves that you were a thief. It's the evidence that they have now against you. A car thief is a car thief before he steals the car because it's in his heart to steal a car. See, you and I do what we do because it's in our heart to do. The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Thus, we need the Redeemer. But Jesus came, listen, the perfect man came from heaven to earth to be, listen, in our bloodline to die on the cross for our sins. It couldn't have been an angel. Oh, I want to see an angel. I want to see an angel. Who cares? Honestly, come on, who cares? I cannot relate to, can you relate to an angel? I can't relate to an angel. God didn't leave our salvation up to an angel. God didn't even leave our salvation up to righteous acts by humans. God came. He came down. God the Son took upon himself the form of a human being. Lived a perfect life. Now watch this. Lived a perfect life. And all through his life, but especially the last few days of his life, the high priest examined Jesus. One examination after another. That had to happen. Why? Because the Passover lamb had to be examined by the priest. That was in the law of God. So all these priests are examining Jesus, trying to catch him in trick quizzes and all kinds of stuff, and he befuddled them every time. He was being proven and tested as the perfect Lamb of God. But the awesome thing is this, that what Jesus did for us and the act of redemption is proof positive that you and I cannot save ourselves, and you and I need to remember this in our Bible theology. God came down to earth to die on the cross for mankind that we might be saved. That is an awesome truth. That is an awesome, great, wonderful, liberating truth. How so? Mark this down if you would. What is redemption? That's a good question. What is it? Answer, 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with the corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the traditions of your fathers, but, verse 19, with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Notice, salvation is not gold or silver. Salvation is blood. The currency of heaven is blood. Romans 3:23 answers this question. Why do we need to be redeemed? Romans 3:23 says, all of us have sinned. It means that from the moment we think we're going to do good, we're already tainted. And we fall short of the glory of God. Third question, how does redemption work? I love this most of all. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, for he, that is God the Father, made him, God the Son, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's by exchange. Isn't that amazing? Think of it. How does redemption work? How am I saved? So church, listen, there'll be a quiz on this throughout your life. Someone's going to ask you at work, how's a man saved? I'm glad you asked. God sent his son Jesus, who knew no sin, to become sin for me, that I might receive the righteousness of God in him. What does that mean? God says in his act of redemption, I will take your sin. I'll receive that to me. I will take the righteousness of my son and apply that to your life. God, the great judge of the cosmos. This is his rule. Listen, I'm not asking you to debate this, argue it, or understand it. This is what God has said. I will provide a sacrifice. In that sacrifice of my approval, I will take his righteousness and give it to you. And at the same time, I will take your sin and I'll give it to him. That's what Jesus was doing on the cross. In that moment, there was that great exchange before God the Son and God the Father, where Jesus, it was heaped on him, all of our punishment and judgment. God the Father was laying upon Jesus everything that Jack was supposed to receive in death. Jesus took for me. That's why, listen, and if this excites you, when I'm done, act like you care and say amen or something. But listen, all the sin that was to hold me bound in hell, in the grave forever, I will never see hell, I will never see the grave, because the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord based on what? His sacrificial death for me. Amen. And that is the greatest news of the gospel. I may stop breathing here on this planet, but the moment I stop breathing, I breathe in the presence of God forever. Why? Because of what Jesus did for me and what Jesus did for you at the cross. What does redemption do for me? This is fun. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 and 2, verse 13. Listen to this. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Listen, that is, there ain't nothing about you in there. You just enjoy it. We have redemption through his blood, not your blood. The forgiveness of sins. You can't forgive yourself of your sins. You didn't sin against you. You sinned against God. According to the riches of his grace. Thank God. He wants you and I in heaven with him. Verse 13, chapter 2, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. It's priestly talk. Peter's using priestly talk. Remember, the priest could not walk into the temple or into the Holy of Holies without blood. Remember that? They had to have the blood of an innocent animal. So Peter says, "This, you guys, think back. We're listening to a Jew, Peter, 2,000 years ago, who knew all about temple stuff. And this man is now telling Jew and Gentile alike It's the blood of Jesus now. Your faith in him, the blood's on you. And you now, you were once far off, now you are brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. You, he's saying, by Jesus' blood, have access to the presence of God. Are you a Christian today? If you're not, what in the world are you doing? What are you thinking? Well, Pastor, I'm just going to get myself cleaned up and I'm going to, you know, knock off a few sins. I'll get my act together and then I'll become a Christian. All I have to say to you is good luck. A friend of mine up in Seattle says, may the luck of the Lord be with you. You laugh because there is no such thing as the luck of the Lord and there ain't no way you're going to make it. Jesus died for sinners. And when he tells me that he will redeem me, that I want to get in line, then here I am. I'm a sinner, Lord. I need salvation, and I thank you that you redeemed, and you'll redeem me. The question is, are you willing to be redeemed? That's a question only you can answer. And then I want to give you this final verse before we press on. I'm reading it right now to the New Living Translation because it's so crystal clear. It's very powerful. Listen carefully. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Gift. Hello? Gift. Not payment. Not a paycheck. Not wages. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. God saves and redeems. It's his idea. His son did it for us at the cross. You're saved by the grace of God, and it's a gift that he gives to you. Why? Because we can't do it on our own. What's the result? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Listen, should that change your life? Oh, it will change your life. Should we do good things? Yes, only after he has done that good thing. Good things that we do cannot save us. We're saved by that good thing Jesus did. But he so changes our lives that we want to walk like him in this world. Our next argument is this, church. Mark it down. You need to know regarding the revelation of God that the God of the Bible is the God incarnate. I'll try to control myself. I almost blew myself up at first service getting excited about this one. Nobody on the planet has the ability but you to announce that your God is the God who came to us incarnate. What does incarnate mean? That the God of the Bible became flesh. There's other messages out there that if you really work hard and be a really good boy and girl, then you can be from a human, you can become a God. Again, good luck with that. But there is no message out there that says the creator God of the universe, the holy, pure spirit, God, almighty, eternal one, clothed himself in human skin to save mankind. God incarnate. Christianity stands alone because our God put on human skin. It was, you know, it's called Christmas. You know that? If you don't celebrate God incarnate on Christmas, then you're not celebrating Christmas. Christ Mass is mass gathering around the Messiah. And the Bible says in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that the baby born in Bethlehem is eternal. There's a lot of cute babies running around the world today, but none of them are eternal. And none of them had a book written about them as to what they would say and what they would do and who they were, but this, the Bible, all about Jesus, that he would be born in Bethlehem, Micah 5, 2, and 522 years later, guess what? He was born in Bethlehem. God incarnate. The Bible tells us that he would do miracles and that he would reveal the kingdom of God to man. That's exactly what Jesus did. The Bible said that he would come from a virgin born into this world, and that's exactly what happened. He's the incarnate God. The Bible says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, listen, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. And then John 1:14, just a few verses down, says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. Can you imagine John? Listen, John is telling you, we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, the preeminent one of the Father, full of grace and truth. These were eyewitness accounts, ladies and gentlemen. John, excuse me, can I interview you? John, you talked to Jesus? Yeah, I did. What was he like? He was full of grace and truth. Is that how you know him today? Is this the God of the Bible that you know? If you don't know him like this, change now. Know him now. Full of grace and truth. Oh, I've had a bad week, Pastor. I've blown it so bad. I've been a real nincompoop. I really colored outside the lines this week. Repent, come back. Change your mind. Get to him. He came. God in human flesh for us. Listen, Paul, in writing to Timothy, is describing the ministry and the nature of Jesus. And I'll paraphrase it there. He announces to Timothy when he writes, he says, "Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifested in the flesh." Everybody listening? The Bible says God was manifested in the flesh. It says there that he was preached about in the world, that he did his miracles, but the most important part that I want you to focus on, it says that he was seen by angels and received back up into heaven. Seen by angels. It's a strange statement there in Timothy. That God was revealed to mankind and he was seen by angels. Whenever you have angels in the presence of God in the Old Testament, they arrive, for example, Isaiah chapter 6, they arrive in the presence of God with their faces covered. Isn't that interesting? They have multiple wings, the seraphim and the cherubim. But whenever they come into the presence of God, the Bible says that the angels cover their faces in his presence. But Timothy tells us that Jesus was seen by angels. The word in Greek is where we get the English word to gawk upon, to gawk or to gaze. Angels looked at the birthing of God in human skin, coming with all reverence, I say this. God being born in human flesh from Mary. And as they watched the delivery of the Son of God, that verse suggests that for the first time, angels saw their Creator face to face in the form of a human. And they gawked. Is that the Jesus you know? Is that the God of the Bible you know? The God who becomes incarnate for your salvation? A couple more verses before we leave this one. I love this. Listen, mark it. Colossians 2:9. This is power. Colossians 2:9. For in him, speaking of Jesus in that chapter, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form. God revealed in human flesh. You know, I wonder what God would do about this particular issue. Look to Jesus. A woman was caught in the act of adultery, dragged to Jesus' feet and thrown down. What would God do? What would God the Holy Spirit do? What would God the Father do? Look to Jesus. Jesus said, "Woman, where are your accusers?" She said, "Lord, I don't have any." And he said, "I don't condemn you either. Go now and sin no more. Go live a new life."
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Revelation of God. It's a look at those scripture passages that give us insight into the attributes of our Creator. This presentation is part of Pastor Jack's topical series called You Need to Know. We'll continue with more of You Need to Know on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, did you know that if you missed any of Pastor Jack's TV programs, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, all you got to do is visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then simply click on the button that says Watch. There's a list of past programs. Just click the one you want, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.